Welcome, everyone, to the TOTU Newcomers SIG. Today's topic is how to use speaking gigs to get clients, part one. And I am your co-host, Simone Pierre, joined by
your other co-host, Louise Crooks.
I kind of think of it like, you know, holiday cards when there's a family. And it's either one signature, or each person signs in their own name.
That's what I imagine when we introduce ourselves.
Welcome. We do want to make sure that you know that we have started a Facebook group. If you're not a part of any of our groups, and you're only getting this announcement through the Coaches Together newsletter that CoachU sends out, we do have previous seasons of recordings in a Yahoo group, and you can post in the Facebook group and let us know if you'd like access to those. And the Facebook group, you can just go into the search bar and put in CoachU Newcomer SIG and ask to join, and we'll certainly welcome you in. And if you just want the URL, it's facebook.com/groups/newcomers/SIG/. So
it's probably easier to just search it.
And so there we do. I do want to say somebody's making some background noise. So if you could hit *6 and put yourself on mute.
Great, thank you.
So we do post all of our recordings in the Facebook group, as well as any resources that we might mention. And we also encourage interaction, if you've got questions or comments or something about that particular topic of the day or some other 3P-related coaching issues. In the Newcomer SIG, we try and address topics that have to do with the 3Ps of mentoring, and that is your personal development, your professional skill development, and your practice and business development. And so today is one of our, what we're calling our business blockbuster series. And we're going to get you started with basically the template for utilizing speaking gigs. And so I want to just go around the room and see before, a lot of it's going to be presentation today. Sometimes we'll have a little more interaction, but today what I'd like to do is give you a lot more information to work with, and then in our part two, we'll be more collaborative and interactive in terms of going through the process of determining what it is that you really say. So this is kind of a how to make it happen and a little bit of a skeleton for the speech, things to keep in mind, but when it comes to them specifically, how to make that happen, we'll be doing that in part two. But I want to just check down and see if there's anything in particular that you want to know about speaking gigs so we can make sure that we can address those topics, or if there was something that you really wanted to take away from today or that we can put into part two so that we make sure that you get what you came for.
I'd ask this, or are you talking about,
You're
talking about trying to knock down the door of a company that would let you in, or are you talking about sort of leadership organizations and community groups and, so what's the scope when you think about it? You probably comment on that later, but I thought I'd bring that up.
Okay, great, thanks. Anyone else?
This is Angela. I would be approaching the topic more from a personal coaching perspective and in community groups. So just by listening to the two of us that have now spoken, I suppose it's quite a broad range that people are looking for.
Yeah. And hopefully what's offered today would be useful in any way that you go. And so you might just be listening for how you might craft some things as well. And consider this is some of the beginning of your coaching career, your coaching practice and business. There certainly are, there's like a National Speakers Association, and there's all kinds of more advanced techniques for actually becoming a keynote and professional speaker. So that might be something, kind of down the line. So I'll spotlight that as well as the time comes. Thanks, Angela. Anyone else? Okay, then I'm going to just jump in, and something that I will invite is if you do have some questions along the way, please feel free to ask. I'll stop intermittently and just check in if there's a need for clarification or if there's any comments or ahas or questions. But if there is something that you really feel like, oh, I can't listen any further without knowing the answer to that, please feel free to ask. So just to set a foundation around this, in terms of, you know, this actually, I think, Stuart, is probably, as I think about it, is going to be more geared towards some of the public speaking in terms of not so much as getting in the door of organizations like corporations, but it might. So I'll ask you to kind of listen and see how things might need to be tweaked or shifted to be more supportive for your inquiry. But essentially, you know, one reason to speak. Louise and I have done many calls about how to get started, how to get clients, what kind of, you know, online in-person strategies. So this is one of the in-person strategies. And essentially, the real benefit of speaking is like, why speak? Is it gives you an opportunity to build instant know, like, and trust. KLT. So you may hear this in some of our other calls. You may hear this out in the world. But essentially, if people are going to work with you, they need to have some kind of experience of you. They need to have to feel like they know you and know something about the work that you do. They need to like you, because they're going to be working with you and investing with you, and they need to feel like they can trust you. So all of this before our competency number 3 of establishing trust and intimacy, we've got to establish another level of trust and intimacy with people to even get them to come through the door. And so, you know, basically, this is about building credibility as well as providing for you an opportunity for a call to action. And I'm hearing some shuffling of papers or something in the background, so I'm going to ask Sarsit if you could put yourself on mute. And if you can't hear yourself, it's usually if I can't hear myself, I'm the one making the noise. It's just the way that the bridge lines do it. So thank you. It's subsided. And so essentially that's why we speak. And then in terms of what to say, we will go more in depth about this, but ultimately, if you want to do more speaking, you want to create something that's known as a signature speech. And your signature speech is basically a speech on a topic that really speaks to your niche and your brand, and it can be adapted around the core of the work that you do or your point of view. And it also is a setup to lead to what you do more of, or, you know, to work with you more in depth, because you're positioning yourself as, in some ways, is a bit of an expert, or as somebody qualified to support people in that realm. And so I'm not going to say too much more about that, but just a few things to keep in mind if you're not so clear about who your niche is and you're still figuring out some of that. Then you might think about maybe who your favorite client might be at this point, or what your favorite coaching topics might be at this point, and then sort of flip that to the other side to think about potential clients. What do they really want to hear? Because ultimately, this is going to be about what the topic or the title is and the topic of the speech, and this is what's going to get them into the room. because they might be part of an organization, you know, where the speech is being offered, but they always have the option to attend the meeting or not. And so considering, and I'll speak a little bit more about it, you know, about what it is that they want to hear about and being able to then position your talk in that way, gets them into the room. And a suggestion would be also, just in some of the preparation and what you have to say, that if you use a PowerPoint or not, you don't necessarily have to, but to possibly have some handouts. So if there are an outline or a worksheet that you want them to, you know, take some action on or take some notes to connect them more deeply with you, I just wanted to put a preparation note on the front end. In terms of then, you know, so now you've got a little bit like of a part on you. All right, I've decided I'm going to give a speech. So how do I find a place to speak? And what you can do is identify different groups within your area. Primarily, I'm speaking in, right now from an in-person perspective. There are some different online strategies to participating in interviews and telesummits and different things, and I'm not going to go into online. So this right now is just about in-person. And what you can do is just identify groups within your area or within an area that you're willing to travel and get in touch with them. So the process, and then I'll give you some ideas of some places and we can go around the room and share some ideas, but the process is actually really simple. So you don't even have to be all freaked out about like, oh my gosh, I got to write some proposal and some, you know, scary something. You simply find the contact information, preferably email, for the organization that you have an interest in speaking, or plenty of them, you know, could be tons of them. And you just send an email that says, do you take outside speakers? It's a yes, no question. And they either say yes or they say no. So if they say no, you could follow up with, thank you. Do you know of any other organizations like you that does take outside speakers? So you might get some recommendations from them. And if not, you know, thank you very much. That's it. If they say yes, then you follow up and ask them what's the process for consideration and booking. Simple sentence. What's the process for consideration and booking? And when you're at that level, right, you're starting to be interactive with them, they'll tell you what their process is, and they'll tell you some of the criteria that they consider for booking. And at that point, once you know that there's an opportunity, then you can start to inquire about more information and more details about that group. What kind of group is this? What kind of topics are they seeking to know more about? What kind of information is most useful for them? So you can then formulate your follow-up questions, and depending on what they say, and depending on as you're in this process, you might start doing a little more Google research on them and or finding out what they're about, because likely they had some kind of a web presence, whether it was Facebook group page or an entire website. There's something where you're going to be learning a little bit more about them, and so then that's when you can then ask about what would be most useful so that you can, I guess, one, figure out if you really are an ideal speaker for them, because you might find that you're not, and you might let them know, thank you, and, you know, I'll get back to you. You might want to craft something that works for them, or this gives you an opportunity to think about how you can position what you want to say to be applicable for their particular audience. So that's some of what you're thinking when you're corresponding with this contact person about the process and then moving forward to set a date. And once you set a date, you can let them know, I'll get back to you with a specific topic and description as I, you know, think a little bit more about what your group wants to do. Or if you've done a few speeches, And you might have some things, you might have a little snippet that you can send them right over. But it is okay also to ask for a little bit of time that you can customize something for them, because then they know that what you'll be delivering really is for them, and it's not just, you know, something off the shelf that you give to everybody. And in terms of, well, I was going to go into some of the kinds of places and where you might find some of these kinds of groups, but before that, I just want to check and see if there's any questions or comments up at this point.
Hi, Simone. This is Jill.
I'm curious.
So I appreciate you sort of walking through the very simple questions that can be posed to the contacts and not making it too burdensome. But I'm curious whether, you know, how much information about myself to put out there with the first question. Do you take outside speakers? Whether the sort of the recipient might want to know something before responding.
I personally don't think it's really necessary because, you know, considering, like, you might be seeking for someone else. You know, maybe you're a manager of speakers or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could have a whole cadre of potential speakers and topics. But if you felt like you needed to say something and you felt like you already knew a little bit about their group, then you might introduce yourself. I'm a coach. I'm a professional coach. I'm a business coach. I'm a life coach. A little descriptor around that, and I'm wondering if you take outside speakers. So I wouldn't offer too much information, because some of it is also considering they might just want to be quick and done, and if there's too much, they might have to think too much, and then they might, do we want someone like that? Well,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it ends up really being up to you, and my thoughts are keeping it really simple, and if they want more details, well, who are you? What do you do? Then you can respond with that and why you think that you might be a fit for their organization.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Thanks for asking. Anyone else?
Okay.
So here's some suggestions that I have, and I'll ask for any others that may not have been mentioned, but like Rotary Club, they are always seeking speakers, and they meet on such a regular basis. So you might look at some of the local Rotary Clubs in your area. Check in with the Chamber of Commerce, or chambers of commerce. Sometimes, for example, when I lived in Chicago, many of the different neighborhoods have their own chambers of commerce. So there was the big Chicagoland, and then there were different neighborhood chambers. So depending on the sizes of your city or town, there might be a lot of options there. It might be some kind of a church or spiritual organization may do things for their congregation or membership. There may be something at your local library where they offer, and just a note about libraries, generally public libraries, you can't charge for anything. So being able to offer some kind of a speaking engagement could be right up your alley, just as a free event open to a completely, you know, different audience that you may not have access to. There could be other networking groups. For example, in Chicago, I belong to the Network of Women Entrepreneurs. We met once a month, and every month we had a speaker. And there were a number of those kinds of organizations throughout the city that also did that same thing. And many of our members, including myself, were members of other groups. And, you know, you might meet once a month, and there was always a speaker, a time for networking, a breakfast or lunch or something. And so just finding, that's why when I mentioned if they say no, do you know of any other groups? For example, with NWE, we had a management team, and they managed other groups like ours. So they would have certainly have known, who of their groups took speakers and then could get you in touch with, you know, perhaps whoever the program chair was or something like that. There might be parent meetings. You might find something out, you know, through the school. There might be something for teachers and staff at a school. It could be on one of their professional development days. It could be, you could go to Meetup, meetup.com, meetup.com, and put in your zip code, because there's all kinds of organizations worldwide that get together and do things, and some of them like to have speakers. There's also often, I know them to be called Lunch and Learns, but sometimes what it is, you can contact somebody in the HR department of an organization, and they might call it like, you know, a brown bag talk or something, like you brown bag your lunch, and they offer different presentation opportunities to the employees. So that might be a way of getting into bigger organizations that aren't just some of these smaller kind of groups. And that's all the ideas I have at this moment. So I want to just see what other ideas any of you have, you know, anything where you might have experienced a speaker or know that they accept them.
So, Mike, can I jump in here?
Sure.
Okay, great. So everything that Simone's been saying is just perfect. It's a really great place to start when you're looking to find, you know, a venue to be able to do your talks. What's also really helpful is that if you have a very clear understanding of who you're talking, wanting to attract to you, the kind of clients that you want. So say, for example, you decide that you've decided on a niche, a particular niche, maybe that's why you got into coaching in the first place. Then you want to use the opportunity to find organizations and places that actually are filled with those ideal clients. That's the ideal scenario, you know, for a coach filling their practice. You know, some of you are going to be at the beginning of that journey, most of you, so you might not have decided on a particular niche of coaching and clients. But the sooner that you're able to do that, the easier it is to actually find your clients, whether it's on Facebook, online, or in person. So I'll just use an example. For example, if you decide that you want to coach people who have been diagnosed with cancer, and you know, to support them through the process of everything that they're going through as they embark on that journey, you know, then you start to realize that there are specific groups and associations and charities and, you know, number of organizations that are dedicated to that particular group of people. And so, you know, it starts to really help you focus in on, you know, where to find your ideal clients instead of, you know, being in a room where maybe two or three might be your ideal clients and the rest you're not really too bothered about. So I just wanted to put that out there. You know, if you're not sure at the moment, then it doesn't really matter at this point, you know, to be so targeted. But the sooner you can get to that place, the easier it becomes to create that marketing for yourself.
Great point, Marie. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, so we're going to move on now to basically an outline of how to draft a converting speech. So for me, I consider this portion of the talk the, you know, basic how to leverage the speaking opportunity. And so what I'm going to offer to you is some considerations of how to construct it. And then you'll plug and play your own proper words and stories and whatnot relevant to what it is that you want to talk about, but this kind of gives you an outline of how you can piece the whole thing together. And know that this can always be modified based on your objective and your audience. But ultimately, this is about getting clients. So this is designed to be a converting speech. Some suggestions, you know, is in the opening is to engage people. And it's called having a grabber, something that's going to grab them, maybe wake them up. And it could be some kind of a call and response. How many of you have, blah, blah, blah. Who wants to, you know, who wants to earn an extra $10,000 a month? You know, how many of you have had sleepless nights? Who's ever had a dream only to have it, you know, crumble before their eyes? Or, you know, something. Whatever it is that you say, obviously it needs to be relevant to your speech, but you want it to be something also that they can feel safe raising their hand for or saying yes to. So you kind of want to engage them in a yes versus any no's, so that the relationship that you're building with them starts to have a positive tone and connection. And in this sense, consider what you do tell them, and we'll talk a little bit more in the body of the speech, you know, what can go in there. But ultimately, this kind of a speech, you're going to be speaking about who your person is, what kind of problem and solution they're seeking, and you're going to give them part of how to fix it. If you already have come up with, you know, a 10-step program, you may give them 3, you know, something like that. So keep this in mind, that you want them to walk away with something useful, like it's not just a total hook them and, you know, bait them in so that they feel like, why did I waste my time coming here? You want anybody who doesn't want to sign up with you to walk away feeling really good about you, believing in your, you know, credibility, that they have no life and trust with you. So you do want to give them some of the how, but generally not all of it. I mean, generally there's not going to be enough time, for one. But also, you're creating an opportunity where if they want more, then they're going to be positioned to be seeking more. And so that's just, you know, kind of a basic formula in piecing this together. But so first, you know, so you start with some kind of a grabber. You're waking them up. You're engaging them. And then you also want to offer something that inspires them. You want to give them some kind of reason to believe in what you're saying. You want to inspire them to keep them listening. You want it to be engaging so that they want to hear the next thing that you have to say. And this usually starts to create some kind of a connection between you and them and the story. And it's usually an element where my story is your story. Your story is my story. Especially if you're really speaking to your key audience, your core audience, it's really going to fit. But definitely know that there's going to be some people in the audience that you're really going to connect with and really speak to. And so within that connection, you're creating what might be called the me and you moment. So it only feels like there's two people in the room. And sometimes you may have been at a speech or something and you felt like, oh my gosh, I just felt like they were talking to me. And then nobody else was in the room. It was just, you know, he or she was talking to me. So you're thinking about creating those kind of moments. I'm sorry, there's a plane going by and then I'm holding it a moment. And within some of those me and you moments, you can be framing some of this, you know, I've been there, same as you. And in a way, what you're doing is you're setting up the challenge. You're setting up the challenge that they might still be in, but that the rest of your speech is going to invite them and offer them and show them that it can be overcome, that there is something on the other side. So this is really contributing to some of that inspiration, so that they don't just like, oh, great, feel worse about their life or their situation, but that they start feeling hopeful and excited that there might be a solution that they haven't considered yet, that they haven't had access to. And so this is within the front end. So you're kind of, you're doing the setup for basically your teachable moment. So now we move into what I would say is more the body or the middle of the speech. And think about, likely we all learn some of the same things in school about writing a paper. You put your premise, your thesis, you know, in your introductory paragraph. You've got your body paragraph. You said, here's what I'm going to tell you. Here I'm telling you. And then at the end, summarize. See, I told you what I was going to tell you. In a way, it's kind of that same construct of a beginning, a middle, and an end. You keep weaving and tying all of these things back together. But in this body portion, this is where you're going to share the answers. This is what works for me. Here's what you do. This is where you've got your teaching content, where you might include three, I would say no more than five, but likely try and keep it to about 3 points. And if you can keep it simple, and accessible so they can make some sense out of it, make it applicable to themselves, and they start to, what you start to help create for them are some ahas. And think about in our competencies, number 8, creating awareness. So a lot of what you're doing within the speech is creating awareness, one, about what's going on with them, but two, about the potential that awaits them. And throughout this middle portion, you'll also seek to tie it back to your setup. So you'll want to connect some of those dots for them in a way that makes sense. And this is a part of the speech where you might also provide some third-party credibility. And third-party credibility might be some quotes that tie things together. It could be, in some ways, some case study or story or connecting what's going on to their values. So, for example, with Rotary, I didn't make a note of this for myself. They've got these values about, is it nice, is it necessary, you know, contributing to the world. There's a thing about all Rotary groups that is part of the values of who they are. And so you might then connect your quotes or connect some of what you're saying to what you've learned their values to be. And so there's the body. And then you start transitioning toward the end. And in this transition, you start to create some connections for them. You're connecting some dots for them in positioning yourself as an expert or as a guide or a leader in this, on this particular journey. So in a sense, this is the pick me or the why me portion. And some of what you do here is you reiterate your path, your answer, your suggestions, and you tie this back to the inspirational piece of what they want most, right? And the inspiration, as you set it up, you're really setting up, like, this is what you could have compared to what you do have. So you're connecting your journey, your path, your offering, ultimately, to what they most want. And you likely at this point can say or will say more about how it really worked for you. And you can position it with, because I struggled, you know, I figured out how to navigate these waters. I just want to summarize that this portion here is really to position you as in that know, like, and trust, that they can trust that you've been on this journey, that they know that you understand what they're going through, and that they like your approach to it or your perspective or your point of view on what the problem was as well as the path to solution. And within some of this, as you bring in that personal portion, you can also bring in some supporting evidence. And that supporting evidence may be some kind of social proof. It might be some scientific proof. It may be case studies, perhaps from clients or, you know, that you've worked with, or some kind of testimonials, or you can point to, you know, things that are happening out in the world that they can connect to that you can show, like, hey, they, you know, they got from here to there. You can get from here to there. I got from here to there. You can get from here to there. So that they recognize that you're not just, you know, speaking in a vacuum or in some kind of bubble, that what you're saying is connected to and related to things that they may know about in their own world, and start to help what you're sharing with them make more sense to them and have more relevance to them. And within this, something that you'll be weaving in along the way are the benefits. And the benefits are basically, you're telling them why they want to do this too. Like, this is what you're going to get. All those dreams come true, all of those promises, all of these things that you want for that are different from what you're experiencing. Those are the benefits, right? Provided these are things that you, you know, really can provide. And so you weave in why somebody would even want to go on this journey. Because often, whatever journey somebody is being invited into, it's not all that pleasant. It's not always that exciting. You know, even if this is just, I got to clean the garage. I mean, you might look at the garage day after day. But when you think about, oh, I got to pull everything out to the driveway, and then I've got to sweep and clean and organize and build some shelves and declutter, and right? I mean, it becomes a pretty monumental task if you've got a big, you know, clutter fest going on in there. And often that's how people may experience things in their lives, some problem that they're so entangled in can feel really challenging to just even address. And so you're helping them to realize that it's okay, and that it will be okay, and that they'll be okay. And in fact, they're going to be more than okay. They're going to be so excited and delighted that they decided to embark on this journey. And in the end, that whatever work might come along the way is going to be so worth it. And you might say some things, you know, like, you do this so that you get this. And just take a note for yourself. So that is one of those connector phrases where you can position those benefits for them that make that journey worthwhile. Then you move into the end portion of the talk. And depending on your audience, and depending on what kind of product and offering you have, or it might even just depend on your own comfort level. So the first close I'm going to offer, I'm going to say, would be the soft close. Mm-hmm. And, yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if it would be a good idea just to take a pause for a moment and just check in and see if everyone is with us. Right now, in terms of knowing, you know, what you said and understanding it, and if there's any questions or if anyone needs, you know, maybe an example of what you said so far, just want to check in and make sure everyone's on, you know,
yeah,
on board here. It's a lot of information to take in, so I just want to make sure.
This is Evan.
Hi,
Evan.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry, I got late. I was just confused about the third-party credibility. You mentioned quotes, case study, and bringing some supporting evidence toward the end. Are these two different things, or is it the same thing? because it seems like one was in the body, like third-party credibility and transitioning toward the end, bringing supporting evidence. But is it the same thing or is it two different things?
Well, essentially it could be the same thing, but you can position it into two different sections. So it may be the first time I mentioned it in the middle and the body, that, you know, that might be a place where if you've got, three main points of you do this, you do that, you do another, you might weave in and bring in some quote that just seems really relevant. You know, for example, a quote that just popped in my head is Anna Eastman, there comes a time when it becomes more painful to stay in the bud than it does to blossom. So you might add something like that, because what you're inviting them to or positioning them for is to blossom. And it means that, you know, they're not comfortable where they're at. So they may have heard that quote before, Gandhi, be the change you wish to see in the world. So they start to connect what you're saying with something else that may already be a part of their knowledge base, or connected to what some of their values are. And the second time that I mentioned it in this transitioning to the end, this is after the pick me. So pick me, why me? Why do you want to work with me? That you're then giving more proof or evidence. So that might be actually where you would put in a client example, or there might be some testimonial, or there might be some scientific proof. You know, for example, if you're into quantum physics, that's what kind of comes to my mind. You might, you know, say something about, I think it's called the Heisenberg principle or something, that when you put your attention to something, it changes because you've attended to it. So you might bring in, you know, some science around this and just weave that in, or an object in motion must stay in motion. So if it's not going to go forward, it's going to go backwards. And, you know, that might be a little piece of science that they are aware of and can connect them to, oh, yeah, if I don't do something about it now, it's just going to be worse down the line. So I might just check Evan and see how useful was what I shared for you.
No, it's clear. Thanks.
Thanks for asking. Anyone else have a question or a comment at this point?
This is Angela. It's almost just listening to all the information that you're providing. It's very valuable. And then thinking back to all the TED Talks that I've listened to, I know they're not exactly the same, but it's almost like a deconstruction of how those talks are put together. So it's being able to take those and mirror those together with the information that you're providing today is going to be very valuable.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Angela. Yeah, well, now that you see the formula, you're going to be like, I got it. I see what's happening.
Simone, I was wondering if it might be a good idea for us to just come up with an example topic and then, you know, break it down into the sections so that people get a sense of what goes where in a real-life example. Do you think that would be a good idea?
Well, something I wonder is about time, because we're nearing the top of the hour, and I was thinking that that's probably what we could do more of that in our part two, like take the formula and make it real.
Okay,
with real topics, and you know, and so that way, if you wanted to re-listen to this one, and then next time we'll, you know, get more into some of the niching and making sense of it.
Great. Something I just wanted to add quickly before you go on, Simone, just to give people just some clarity as well. You spoke to this in a different way earlier, Simone, but in terms of the body of the talk, It really helps to think of it from this perspective. And it depends. It doesn't matter whether it's a talk or an in-person talk or a webinar that you're doing or teleclass. When you are wanting to have an outcome at the end of that talk, where you have people take action, you want to base it looking at it like a daisy chain. So, one daisy is the problem that you're addressing. So the talk that you're creating is addressing a particular problem or challenge or even desire that someone is wanting really deeply. And then the chain is like the bridge where you're giving them the solution to that particular problem. But what happens is that chain then is connected to another problem, the next daisy. So when you've actually placed, when you've shared what the challenge is, you've shared some of the solutions around that particular challenge, you're then presenting, well, now I've solved this, but what about this? And there you can lead into a very strong transition into the next solution that you're going to provide. So, for example, if it's going to be that you offer folks to have a coaching discovery session with you, for example, it makes sense that they will want to do that based on where you've taken them along that path. So hopefully that helps set up what you're about to talk about, Simone, but I just wanted people to get a visual of that, because it's that whole idea of problem, solution, and then problem again. And the thing that you're offering them is going to solve that next problem and take them through the journey of working with you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Louise.
And so now we are moving into the end. And what I would say is the soft close is that you wrap up with some summary. And that could be, how to use what you've offered them, but also, as Louise was just pointing out, positioning that there's going to be more. So remember at the beginning we said, if you got a 10 step, give them 3. Because some people will be able to take the 3 and do something with it. And those who really want change in their life will want to have the full solution, not just a couple of steps down the road. There's some that are really going to be in it to win it. And so this has really been positioning them for what's more possible. And then you create some kind of an invitation to take action. And in this case, in a softer one, it might be that they take your card, they might sign up for a free session, I might enter some kind of a raffle. And we can talk a little bit more about some of those closing things. But in some way, you want to be able to have continued connection with them, and you invite them into the connection. But now what I'm going to go into is maybe a more direct call to action. And so the first thing that you do is you create an invitation for them. And with this invitation, you're making an offer to work with you. And so this may be whatever the program is, whatever, if it's one-on-one coaching, if it's a group coaching, if it's a class or, some kind of workshop or something. And you will let them know how it works, what's in it for them, so you're reiterating some of those benefits, and you want to let them know how much it is. And within this portion, you also want to assume the risk. You want it to be safe for people to reach out and potentially work with you or to investigate working with you. So you want to let them know that if there's some kind of guarantee, if you don't get what you're looking for by the time the class is over, then we'll work till you do get it, or you'll get your money back, or, something, depending on what it is that you're offering, you can figure out how to word that. But you want to create some kind of a safety mechanism that makes it safe for them. You might also do something that could be a fast-acting bonus
or for a limited time. There's a limited number of spots, or, you know, there's a limited, the cost will go up at a certain point. So here's some of what you're putting in the invitation. And then what you have is really a call to action. And in the call to action, you are actually telling them what to do. So you're not just leaving it to them, like, oh, do that. You might tell them, get out your pen and paper. Put your name on that slip that I handed out and mark off what, you know, how you want for us to connect. Put your phone number. Put, you know, so you're actually walking them through and telling them what to do. You might, you know, tell them, you know, that might be where you're also adding in some of that fast-acting bonus kind of thing. Normally, this is a $500 offer, but today, if you just fill it in, it will be available to you for $250 or, you know, something. So you're really supporting them to take the action to go further. Now, they might end up with some buyer's remorse or something, and that's okay, but they might end up with buyer's rejoice. And they may be really happy that they actually took some action and they took the opportunity to have a deeper, further conversation or examination into what's really possible for them. And so that's one of the things that if you can take a stand for, that's what you're offering people. If somebody comes back later and is like, I really don't want to, that's okay. It is A-okay. Because you might ask them, you know, could I be in touch with you sometime later? Or when you are ready, please get in touch. You know, something like that. But you can tell them at this point, you know, I can only do so much in a 45-minute talk. So it doesn't make sense that if you need this and you don't have it, you know, that you think you could just get it in the 45 minutes. So, you know, please, you know, give me your number, sign up, or whatever the thing is. And at this point, depending on where you're at starting out, right? Like, you may not have any clients. You may not have anything. You might, this just might be to get some one-on-ones. So this might be a place where you just take everybody's card or have them fill out a form or have appointments that are preset and they can fill out and sign up for the particular appointment, ask them, hey, pull out your calendar, pull out your smartphone, and look into your diary, and pick a time that works for me and for you. This paper is circulating, you know, that's got times that work for me, or something like that, or raffle off, if you don't have your own book that you've written, you could pick some kind of, you know, industry book that a lot of people want and like. I will say some of my coaches, when they would do raffles, they said they used to raffle off a six-pack of beer. So I'm just saying, you could get pretty crazy. I mean,
depending,
you know,
on your audience, right?
Exactly. You know, so if that's your audience, or maybe it's two tickets to a movie theater or something. So you've got to have an opportunity to be able to follow up with them, because when you get their cards, then you can follow up and like, hey, this is Simone, and we met at the, you know, at this event, and you put your card in the raffle, and I was just following up to offer you a free discovery session. I've got some appointments available. When would you like to meet?
Can I just interject there and add something there?
Please.
So, you know, it might seem a little strange. How am I going to tie the idea of raffling, or, you know, giving a book as a little prize, you know, to the idea of having some people sign up to have a discovery session with me? And I would say that you could position it from the point of view of, well, first of all, I would again place a limiter. So I can only take 20 people, you know, for, you know, because my time is limited. So, you know, the first 20 people who are able to put their name on that list will get to have a conversation pretty soon. But as I say, you know, my time is precious, so I can only set aside a certain amount of time to have these conversations. So I recommend, you know, you sign up as quickly as possible and it's first come, first serve. And really what you're doing with that, because I think sometimes people have an issue around limiters, you know, is that you're actually taking a stand for them to take action in their life. You know, often if you're just leaving it open, you're not, you know, that you're leaving them in that limbo of, shall I, shan't I, I'm not sure. So actually helping them to take action is a good way, this is a good way to do that. The second thing I wanted to add is in regards to, you know, say, for example, the raffle prize. So to segue into that, you could say, you know, and, you know, if you're going to give me your, you know, write down your name, or you're going to put your card in the bowl, whatever you decide to do. I love supporting people who are willing to take action, even if they're not sure right now. You know, this is a way for you to help you move forward, and there's no commitment to, you know, there's no pressure or commitment to, you know, what I'm offering today. It's just a conversation. But I'm going to reward those who want to take action and move forward. And so I'm going to be giving out a book that I know is a favorite amongst you at the moment. And some lucky person will get that at the end of our talk today. So over to you, Simone.
All right. Thank you, Louise. And so just in kind of wrapping this up, I wanted to just spotlight that, you know, ultimately what this is about is creating, what am I trying to say? I'm looking at my notes and I lost my thought. It's basically about connecting with people. It's really an opportunity to cultivate relationships because, you know, who do we coach with? We coach with people that we have relationships with. So it's giving you opportunity to create a relationship with them through the talk, and it's giving you opportunity to create ongoing relationships with them, whether it's names that might get on your contact list, whether you've actually got a newsletter going out or not. You might ask them if, you know, about being in further contact with them if they join the raffle, that, you know, you may reach out to them in the future, or if they want to sign up for a discovery session. It gives you an opportunity to have more intimate relationship development with them so that they can explore more fully about what's going on in their life and see how coaching can really support them into their next. And so considering, you know, from the beginning, in terms of who the audience is and all of that, what you're also thinking about as the objective is it's not just get clients, because that's the selfish side of it. That's all about me. I'm here to speak so I get clients. Really, the greater objective, which I think can put you in that much more service, making a difference in service position, is that you're cultivating relationships with people, cultivating that trust and intimacy so that they can know you, they can like you, they can trust you, and they can connect with something deep inside of themselves that is wanting to be set free, that's wanting to blossom into the world. And you're giving them an opportunity to have a relationship with that part of themselves as well as you. And then just keep extending those information. So like the daisy chain of problem, solution leads to another problem, another solution. Within coaching, it's, you know, this relationship just keeps getting deeper because once you hit a level of potential, well, and you're not dead, guess what? There's more potential. Mm-hmm. So the potential for that coaching relationship and for them to be served by you, it can be decades that they work with you. Not because they're just... Yeah, you know, not
in a codependent way.
Right, and it's not just because they have so many problems that they need all these solutions, yeah. It's that they've found a confidant and a thinking partner and somebody who helps them navigate the invisible side of the visible world
And that is invaluable. Somebody who is always on their side, even when you're challenging them and calling their BS, like that's the kind of relationship that you're allowing them to develop. And if I assert that if that's your objective in going into these speaking engagements, that the potential for people wanting to actually be in relationship with you after is much greater. And so that is all the information.
I have one more thing I want to add, Simone. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, this kind of talk is different to a workshop or a keynote. You know, a keynote is where you're going to get paid a lot of money to speak and you're not necessarily going to walk away with anything else. You know, workshop is normally a completion of experience with the people are having with you, you know, so you're tackling something of depth. This is an opportunity to share a slice of the cake, you know, of all the work that you offer. It's an introduction. It can be an in-depth introduction in terms of content. You know, you're giving them a deep slice of cake, but you're not giving them the whole cake. And don't feel like you have to deliver the whole cake in that particular talk. It's just a little piece that's going to give them a lot of value. And then look at this from the point of view of an offering that is free or very low cost. You know, so that, you know, these people who don't know you get an opportunity to first of all get some real value for coming to the talk, and secondly get to know you. And you know, that's where the know, like, and trust factor comes in, as Simone was saying. So it's about building that relationship. It's really amazing how quickly that can develop into, you know, getting clients, because, you know, you're elevated to the level of expert when you're in front of the room. So I just wanted to add that in there, you know, that these kinds of talks tend to be low cost or no cost. I know some people get a little bit hooked by that, but this is about your marketing strategy. You know, a lot of the time you're leading them into something.
So, coaches, just want to check and see any final questions or comments and clarifications at this point.
This is Evan.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you, so I don't know if you can precise low cost what it is, just for, to have an idea. And I was just wondering, do you give your, your presentation in paper or electronically usually, or is it not recommended to do it? You mentioned handouts at the beginning. Is it what you're going to present? Is it good or bad to leave it to the people?
I think if you have, you know, maybe some kind of a worksheet kind of thing where they might fill in the blanks, or you might ask them a question and they could, you know, they might think about it and put in their own answers, that you might have like a 1 or 2 page something. If you have some bullet points on the PowerPoint, you could do a PowerPoint handout. It's not necessary, but it is something to consider if it would be useful. Because another thing about that is that you could put your contact information on it. And
well, the other thing about that, Simone, is that you can actually, even if you have access to those people before you do the talk, you can even use that as a download so that people can then give you their information. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Sorry, Simone, I just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, good point. And I think also it's, then they've always got your contact information and your name. So it is a way of keeping yourself accessible to them.
The low cost, no cost part of the question, Evan, I think the question I'd want to ask you is, who is your audience first? And then we can address that.
Good question. I need to think about it.
When you think of a client, do you think of someone, you know, who is, you know, stay-at-home mom or an executive in a corporate environment? You know,
I would say... Yeah, I would say college students. I'm going to give a talk, but a free talk, and then maybe in the corporate world or so, Chamber of Commerce, business side of it, or two different things.
Okay, so, yeah, even Chamber of Commerce. I would say, again, also if you're delivering more content or value, you might want to go with a low cost, like $29 or something like that as a fee for the webinar or for a talk. If it's a free talk, then obviously that makes sense, you know, and you can do that to students or even to a chamber of commerce. You know, it really depends on what you're talking about and how much in depth you're going into as well. I hope that helps.
Okay, so the $29, for instance, so that kind of order of magnitude, is it for the person who pays this for it to come, or is it?
Well, for example, the ICF chapters, you know, if you sign up for a webinar with an ICF chapter, you'll pay $29 for that privilege. You know, but you're getting a delivery of information, you know, content there. It still means you can have a call to action at the end of that, but, you know, again, it just depends on how you're positioning the talk, whether it's going to be a big process of, you know, big piece of selling in there, or if it's going to be more content-driven. The majority of time when you're doing talks with people that you don't know, it's likely to be a no-cost offering.
True. Okay, thank you.
I know we're really over right now, so I'll pass over to you, Simone, there.
Yeah. Well, what I will ask is that if you've got further questions, to put them in the Facebook group, or if you've got some comments, then we certainly encourage you to listen to this again if you need to, you know, just capture more of those details, because it certainly was information and content heavy. And with that being said, we will have the recording posted to the Yahoo group, in case we haven't had everyone moved over yet, on the Facebook group. And in order to reach us, I am at Simone@unleashyourmajesty.com, Simone@unleashyourmajesty.com, and you can check me out at unleashyourmajesty.com or kickstartyourcoachingcashflow.com. And Louise.
I am Louise Crooks, and you can contact me by emailing louise@keys2clarity.com or find me on keys2clarity.com.
All right. Well, thank you, coaches, so much for your time, your attention.
Thank you both. This was a really rich session. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Don't forget to join the Facebook group.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.